The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Romeo. You're listening to the Huddle Up Podcast, where I talk about the latest things on pro football and fantasy football. Every game, every play, every week. Welcome back, everyone. Episode 6, the first week of December 2024. This is my last episode to you all. Today, I have another interview. I have a special guest with me, big Arizona Hoops fan. Want to introduce yourself?
Yo, what up, guys? My name's Jalen.
Yeah, so Jalen here, you know, loves his Arizona basketball, loves his sports in general, but knows a lot about the college game, college basketball. You know, Arizona hasn't been doing pretty well this year, even though they were expected to do well. They have, supposedly one of the best players in the country in Caleb Love, but he's been having an off year. You know, they made some roster changes. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a rough year for Arizona. You know, Caleb Love hasn't really been performing as we thought he would. And Jalen Bradley has really stepped up in a big way to kind of give us unfulfilled numbers that Caleb Love is supposed to be giving us. But U of A really hasn't found that guy yet to, you know, step up and make the big moments, make the big plays, score consistently on a, you know, any given night on a given basis. And with the loss of Umar Ballo going to Indiana, U of A just has no big man presence, in a sense of there's no lob threats, there's no guys to really just take over a game inside the paint. They do have 2 7-foot centers in rotation in Krivas and Vesar, but with those guys, like, they lack a lot of mass. You know, they're all tall, 7 foot, like I said, both 7 foot even, so they have the height, and that's not what they lack. But in order to cover the ground in the paint is where they lack on their part. You know, I don't know how. I think it's because Arizona's played a lot of, you know, quad four, quad three teams. And somehow, you know, they're high in the nation for rebounding. They lead the nation in rebounding, or they did as of last week. I don't know where they stand now. But, you know, they just lack that really – that big man presence, in a sense of someone that you could just feed inside and let them take over. And with the loss of Umar Ballo, it's really fallen apart. You know, we did lose Kylan Boswell, but I'm not really, you know, skeptical about that loss. I feel like he did more bad than he did good last year. It doesn't really take much to run the point when you have guys like Jaden Bradley. And, you know, even though Caleb Love hasn't really been putting up the numbers I'd like him to see, he has been taking care of the ball a lot better this year than he did past years. And, you know, he's taking better shot selections. And that might be the cause of, you know, the reason he hasn't really been putting up much points. But with that being said, like, you know, the main loss is definitely Umar Ballo, as well as the losses of Keyshawn Johnson and Pelle Larsen going to the league, both playing for Miami Heat. Big shout out, Miami.
Yeah, I know. I heard you're a big Miami Heat fan too. But you know, you've already had 4 early losses. You know, it's barely just been December too. You know, losing to Wisconsin by almost 20 points, losing to Duke, which is probably expected, but you know, the fashion that you did, only scoring 55 points, probably not good enough. And then losing in the tournament. You want to speak about that tournament?
Yeah. So. The tournament that U of A was in was the Battle for Atlantis, hosted teams such as Davidson, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Gonzaga, Indiana, Louisville, and Providence. And it was actually a pretty crazy and unique tournament. Both Gonzaga and Indiana were bumped out the first round. So big upsets by West Virginia and Louisville. Louisville ended up going to the championship game, taking second in the Battle for Atlantis. West Virginia actually ended up bumping the playing U of A in the third place game after U of A lost to a solid Oklahoma team, who ended up taking the tournament and beating Louisville by, I think, double digits or maybe it was either 8 or 11 points. So this tournament was full of upsets. Gonzaga was coming in at number 4 in the nation. Like I said, got upset first round of West Virginia in an overtime thriller. Indiana just got blown out the water by, I think, 24 points to Louisville. Didn't even show up. And then, interesting fact, West Virginia actually went to overtime in all three games they played in this tournament. They went to overtime against Gonzaga, went to overtime against Louisville, and then they went to overtime against Arizona in the third place game. Arizona looked strong. They found their magic against Davidson game one. Davidson is a lower quad team, quad four, but you know, it's one of those confidence games where if you didn't find your rhythm against them, it would make me even more worried. They came out shooting. They were hot. They were on fire. Thought it would carry over more towards the Oklahoma game. They actually jumped out on Oklahoma with a pretty big lead. I think I want to say it was like 20-14. Couldn't hold on to it, though. Jeremiah Fears, starting guard for Oklahoma, started hitting some buckets, hit a late buzzer beater to go into halftime to put the Sooners up by 5. And I think that carried some, you know, mojo over into the second half, gave them a pretty big cushion in a sense of that they felt like the game was kind of in their hands by then. And pretty much every time that Arizona looked like they were answering or ready to knock on the door, Oklahoma just shut that door right back closed. Like I said, Jeremiah Fears worked really well off the pick and roll. He was finding every shot he wanted, floater, mid-range, three ball. Everything was falling for him. And, you know, Caleb Love actually stepped up in a big way that game. I think this tournament, throughout all three games, he averaged about 17.3 points or something like that, around the 17-point margin. But after he hit that buzzer beater to take them into overtime against Oklahoma, to give them a chance against Oklahoma, he tied the game up at 77 with a big three. They called a timeout, and it's as if Arizona just didn't even hit that three. It's like Caleb Love's three didn't even mean anything. They came out of the timeout, and they just had no urgency, no sense of will or no sense of heart to just go out there and put it on the line. They came out lazy. They came out sloppy. Oklahoma, once again, their guy Jeremiah Fears took it to the rack, got an easy two. Arizona went down, chucked a shot up, didn't get it, and then Oklahoma came down, hit a three ball, and that was game.
Yeah, no, that tournament sounds pretty interesting. I was looking at the stats too. You know, Arizona, they're one of their main problems this year so far has been the three ball. You know, like against Oklahoma, only making 5 threes in a game is kind of crazy. Against Wisconsin, only 4 threes. And in this era of basketball, you got to hit your 3-point shots. You know, even though you're only attempting like probably like 20 something a game, you've only made 5, 4, 7, and only 49 total throughout the whole season, and your opponents have made almost double that. So that's probably a thing that team has to fix, especially offensively. I don't know anything about defense, though. Maybe the defense hasn't been that good, but looking at the stats, you've held teams to 73 points a game on average while scoring 85. It's just been the 3-point percentage, like I said, just below at 31% and 30%.
Yeah, man. So as I was saying, defense has been spot on this year, man. You know, they look very well on all cylinders. Despite the issues on offense, I will say, not only as a biased fan, but, you know, you could go watch Sleepers Media on YouTube. You can go listen to different analytics, and they'll all say the same thing. You know, this year it hasn't really been Arizona's focal point to be spot on the offensive end. But defensively, despite what Caleb Love is on offense, him and Bradley and KJ Lewis are all dogs on defense. That's a very strong, guard rotation right there to cover the wings and the top of the key. They do get a lot of steals per game. And as you know, Arizona thrives off transition. That's what they've been known for, you know, the past few years now. So defensively is not the issue. As you saw, you held Duke. U of A held Duke to only 69 points, I believe, in that game by Duke. Yeah, 69 points, and 7 of those came from free throws in the last minute. So really, the last minute was 55-62, but U of A had to dive into the, you know, the late foul situation, which gave Duke a free extra 7 or 5 points. So defense is not really, you know, a crazy issue for Arizona. You know, you look at powerhouses, and yeah, they gave up 82 against Oklahoma, but that also took a big Jeremiah Fears, you know, like iconic game. It took him the best of his life, like one of the best career games he's had and probably will have at Oklahoma. And then they put up 82 against Arizona, but then you look at a team like Duke that's way more functional, way more than just one-dimensional, has a bunch of guys they can go to. You know, Cooper Flagg, they got that new big down low, sitting down low. Isaiah Proctor, they got a lot of guys that you could go to, and U of A held them to 69. But when I look at these, you know, scores and stuff, any team that's outside of a quad three, they're only putting up probably an average of 60-something points. Against Oklahoma, 77. But that was more because, you know, they had to go gung-ho. They had to go bucket for bucket with them. West Virginia, 76, and that went into overtime. So realistically, they probably only had a shy of 70, probably around 67 before overtime. And then Duke, you know, they only 55 points. And games before that, they were averaging pretty much around 94 points a game. So it all goes back to what I was saying. You know, not only has Arizona been a big transition team in the past few years, they've also been relying on their big man to work the ball through and feed through, you know, everything they can do inside. When you had a guy like Omar Ballo that can just suck a defense in, when you feed him, you know, he draws so much attention because he's tall and he covers a lot of ground in the paint. You have to have guys that come over and help the helper, you know, guys that have to force feed into it to kind of help stop that madness, which allows an easy kick out. And even though they haven't shot the three ball well this year, it's probably because they can't get anything going. Therefore, you know, a lot of defenses are able to play the perimeter better. And as you know, as anybody knows, you'd rather take a wide open three than a contested three. So I, you know, think a lot of their offensive struggles generally comes back to just the sole purpose that they don't have a really good inside game right now, which is causing them to, you know, get a rift in the offense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like dissecting the Arizona offense, Arizona defense, and your, like, what's been the problem for your team's like 4 losses early on in the season. But just to wrap up this episode, I just wanted to know your thoughts on, like, when it comes to March Madness in a couple months' time. Who do you think has the best chance of like winning it all? Just like looking at the power rankings real quick, you know, top team obviously is like Kansas, you know, Auburn and all that. Kentucky is always going to be in there. Who do you think has the best chance of, just to pick one team?
If I had to pick one team, it would probably be Auburn. They looked super strong in the tournament that they played in. They beat, you know, good teams such as Houston. I think they played Memphis in the final and mopped them up by, I think it was 20+. Yeah, they definitely do not look like the frauds that, you know, like UConn looks like. UConn lost back-to-back games. You have teams like, you know, Tennessee, but their strength of schedule, in my opinion, hasn't been anything crazy. It's a lot of quad twos. But at the end of the day, it's still early, you know. A lot of these tournaments are just kind of to get your team set up for the year and what kind of year you want it to be. You want these guys to face adversity games, you know, overtime thrillers early now, so that way they get accustomed to it and get used to it, so that way they're ready for that moment when it does come to March Madness and, you know, none of your guys freeze up. So with that being said, I think that they're, you know, despite UConn being 25th now, Arizona not ranked, teams like Michigan State not ranked right now, I think those guys you'll still see make a late run in March.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting to, you know, hear the opinion of a guy that knows college basketball pretty well. You know, I would never expect Auburn to be a good college basketball team, but it's interesting to learn that. You know, appreciate you, Jalen, for hopping on this episode. it was nice talking about Arizona hoops with you, just college basketball in general, and your knowledge of the game is, you know, pretty unique.
Yeah, man, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.